It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Mr. John Matthews, Chief Financial Officer at BJU.
If you would, go ahead and open your Bibles to John chapter 15. I was sent something by PowerPoint that I wished I could show to you all this morning by PowerPoint, but you're going to have to let me just do it verbally. But it really was neat. What is the shortest chapter in the Bible? It's Psalm 117. What's the longest chapter in the Bible? Psalm 119. Therefore, the center chapter in all the Bible would be Psalm 118. There are 594 chapters before Psalm 118. There are 594 chapters after Psalm 118. For those of you who are good math majors, what's 594 plus 594? 1188. What do you think is the central verse in all the Bible? The center verse is Psalm 118:8. Do you think God's trying to tell us something by what he's going to describe when he tells us in that verse? It says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. There you get to the center of the Bible, and there you find God and our obligation to trust him as opposed to putting our confidence in our flesh or in other man. And that's kind of where I want to take this chapel message this morning, is the idea of trusting in the Lord, and we find that in John 15, which is the abiding chapter. Let's read beginning in actually chapter 14, verse 31, and we'll read down to verse 11. Jesus said, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I want to emphasize that verse 11, and it's from that verse that we'll jump into this passage. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. All of us in life would love to have the opportunity to have enough of something and have it always remain. And here in this passage, we're told just that. I was thinking as I was filling up my car with gas about a week ago, and I was anticipating this message, wouldn't it be wonderful if someone could bring to us a once-and-for-all cure-all, that they would explain to us how you only have to fill your car up once and it would forever stay full and remain as long as you own that car. Do you think you and I would listen to what that person had to say, especially if it could be shown to be affordable? Well, of course we would. What if you had the opportunity to go to your ATM machine and someone could tell us how we could always have enough money in that ATM machine, and it would always last, so every time we went, we could get out the money we need to fulfill whatever we wanted to get the money for. We would listen if there were a way to have something that we could be told would be always full and always lasting. Jesus has said, "These things I speak unto you, so that my joy might remain in you." That's that continuation. And that our joy might be full. I was meditating on this passage while on vacation. And the more I studied, I really got excited about these thoughts I'm going to share. And I hopeful and prayerful that they'll be helpful for you today. So how do we have full and lasting joy? Well, as I meditated, the first thought I came to is we have a fruit-bearing life that glorifies God. Jesus said in John 15, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." The more I thought about that, that is the way we were created. We were created and designed to bear fruit so that we could bring glory to the Father. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews 12:2. It's always interesting to me to tie Jesus Christ and how He affects principles like this. Notice with me that this was Jesus' great joy in pleasing His Father by living a fruitful life. And all of us here who know Jesus as our personal Savior and have the hope of heaven for all eternity know what it is that Jesus' life was fruit-bearing when He died on the cross and forever built a bridge between us as sinful men and women and a thrice holy God. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, now note, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We were created to bear fruit and glorify God, and in so doing, that is why we as Christians can have this full and lasting joy. So how do we bear fruit? Well, we find that if we could read again verses 4 and 5. "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine," Jesus says, "and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." Here we see that phrase, much fruit, again. We know the Father is glorified when we bear much fruit. We know we're designed to bear fruit to bring Him that glory. But now Jesus tells us, if ye abide in me and I in you, ye can bear much fruit. And the key is abiding. We're given the illustration of the branch and vine. A branch cannot exist except it grow from the vine. And for a Christian, we cannot truly exist as we're designed and created to exist unless we're connected to our vine, which is Jesus Christ. And we're dependent on Him, and that's how we're created. And as Jesus says, "He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth much fruit." So then my mind went to the next way. So how do I abide in Christ? This is a central idea in John's theology. It occurs 11 times in this chapter. As I've studied, I found out it's 40 times mentioned in the entire Gospels, but 27 times there in John's epistle, for which, again, 11 are right here in this chapter, John 15. What does it mean to abide? Well, it can mean to accept Jesus as Savior. And we all would agree we cannot abide except we be connected to the vine, and that comes with our salvation. Apart from that, we have no connection and therefore no way for Jesus to help us bear much fruit. For as we already said, "For without me ye can do nothing." Without the Lord, there is no fruit. The key is in abiding. It can mean to continue or persevere in trusting. And it can mean the idea of trusting, loving, obedience. It is trusting, loving, obedience here in John 15. My pastor shared somewhere in the past that trusting has two sides. First, it has the side of dependence. And second, it has the side of submission. Look with me, if you would, at verse 7, and I think we can begin to see this. It says, if ye abide in me. This is the dependent side. God-dependent versus self-dependent. And I know what it is, even as we said in that center verse of all the Bible, we put our trust in God, we do not put our confidence in man. And many times that confidence is in ourself and even in the God-given abilities He's given us. But the point is, abiding is God-dependent, not self-dependent or others-dependent. It's God-dependent. And my words abide in you. That's the submission. We submit to His commands. We lovingly obey them as we keep God's commands. We see this again if we look down in verses 9 and 10. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now note, continue ye in my love. That word continue is our Greek word, meno. Forgive me if I'm not pronouncing that correctly, but it's M-E-N-O. But it's the same word abide again. So that would be our side of trusting with dependence. We remain dependent in the Lord. And then you go to verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Now we're back to that side of trusting, which is submission. If ye keep my commandments. Keeping God's commandments and remaining in loving obedience, this is how we submit. Now note this too, back to Jesus as our example. Look in verse 10 again. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. That is Jesus speaking. And notice back in verse 31 where He said that all the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment to do, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. We know in verse 31 He's talking about that commandment, that desire of the Father that He goes to the cross. The disciples didn't fully understand it. But He was willing to submit, lovingly obey His Father's commands. And He was trusting in that. And those are those two sides of the coin of abiding, which is trusting, which has dependence and submission. Isn't it wonderful that we're told how we can abide? We're told that when we abide through dependence and submission, we can bear not just fruit, but much fruit, because it's who we're abiding in that helps us have much fruit. And as we bear much fruit, we bring glory to the Father. We're fulfilling what we've been designed to do. And it's the key for us to have lasting joy, and not only lasting joy, but to the full extent. So why don't we abide? Many times it's because we're abiding in thoughts of what we want and don't have, or what we think we need and don't have. And I know we have a mixture of folks in this room of varying ages. But when I shared this with the college class yesterday, I said it's easy when you're in college to abide in the thought of, okay, my grades. If I can just get these certain grades, then life's going to be okay. School's going to be all right, and they're really abiding as if their joy comes through grades. Again, working in my role here at the school, I know very well what it is for students to feel if they could abide in the thought that their finances are secure, that they can just concentrate on their academics and not have to worry about work and not have to worry about how they're going to pay that next school bill, that it's easy for them to abide more. And if I can just have my finances all worked out, whew, I'm going to be joyful. That's really what will make this come together in a full and lasting way. And I know for college age, many times it's just they want to have that interaction, that relationship with the opposite sex. It's very natural. So they tend to think, if I can just have a boyfriend, if I can just have a girlfriend, then again, I'm finally going to have this lasting and this full joy. And I say to you, is that what Jesus said in John 15? Now, He's teaching us, no, you just be a fruit-bearing Christian wherever I placed you. You trust in me through submission and dependence, and you will bear much fruit. You'll bring glory to my Father, and you will know firsthand what it is to have lasting and full joy. I started thinking about we could have some pastors in here. I can only imagine, as I'm a layman, I'm not called to the pastorate, but I have moved and shaken with many pastors, and hearing them speak, I know what it is sometimes to be discouraged that your church isn't growing the way you may desire it to grow. It's easy to abide in the thought of what it may be like if I had a larger church attendance. Many times that would lead to an easier thought of how we're going to have more offerings. That could lead to the thought of how we could have more facilities. If we had more facilities, we could do more for the young people and for the elder people and for all the church. But it's very easy to begin abiding in that and looking at someone else's vineyard. And as you abide in that, you're not really bearing the fruit God intended you to bear in your vineyard, because you're not fully abiding through trust and dependence and submission in the vineyard you're placed. And as laymen, we can place our emphasis too much on, if I can just have only that next promotion. I've been working so hard these last few years. If I could get that next promotion, then I could do more for my family, take some extra vacations, maybe have a nicer house, a nicer car. Those of you who are pastors, you know that's where it's easy for laymen to abide, to always think in terms of, if I could just have, and whatever the next thing is. And it's easy to abide in those things. And I'm not even here to say there's necessarily something wrong in attaining those things, in any of these examples I've shared. But when we start to abide, even only a little bit, we're doing it at the expense of not being able to receive full and lasting joy that only is ours when we're truly, fully abiding in Christ. And that's where much fruit comes from. John 10:10, I think, is an appropriate verse to share here. It says, "The thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy." And we know that's speaking of Satan. But Jesus said, "I have come that ye may have life, and that ye may have life more abundantly." Again, he's right back to this principle of needing to be connected to him. That is the way we're designed. We're designed to bear fruit, but not just fruit, but much fruit. And we're designed to be connected to Jesus. And when we are, we can only but bear much fruit. And then we know what it is to understand a true life of joy that is full and lasting. And we understand what the superabundant Christian life is meant to be. So who here can raise your hand that you have full and lasting joy? That's what kept getting to me while I was on vacation. And you're able to relax and be away from the pressures of the ministry. And yet, I would be a hypocrite. I would lie to you today if I said I have full and lasting joy. From what I've shared with you, what do you think the Holy Spirit's telling me? What may He be telling you? What is John abiding in at the expense of not being able to fully abide, to fully trust through submission and dependence on my Lord and Savior, such that I'm not totally bearing the much fruit that I could, that I'm not bringing as much glory to my Father as I could, and is it any wonder I'm not full with lasting joy? I want to end with two thoughts, and I know this is a simple message, but this is what the Lord's been teaching me. I reflected upon two things that have happened to me in the last week, both of which to me strongly point to what I've just shared today. I won't mention the couple's name here. Some of you may figure it out. But to me, they are a living testimony of what it is to be fruit-bearing Christians of much fruit and to have lasting and full joy. And all of y'all know that they're people's lives that are some of the strongest messages we've ever heard. Though they'll never be in a pulpit and preach, their life is a pulpit that they can stand behind, and it speaks very loud to us. And this couple came up to me when my wife and I were in the dining common and said, 54 years ago today, we got married. We're celebrating our 54th wedding anniversary, and they did what all of us would do on our wedding day. They came to Bob Jones University for a honeymoon. I laughingly say that would be the last thing I would have done. And I have given 17 years here, but no, I would have went somewhere else. But they loved the school, and that's where they wanted to come on their honeymoon. And they said, while they were here on their honeymoon, my grandfather offered them both positions, and they've stayed ever since, raised their families, bore much fruit as they've served here, and they have demonstrated to me through the years as I've known them as people who, you know, BJ folks don't get paid a lot of money. But where they don't get paid a lot of money, they knew they were called here. This was the vineyard they were placed. They were so excited about what the Lord was doing here, and they were able to be a part of it, that they abided in that, as opposed to what they didn't have or where else they could be. And they bore much fruit, and they had lasting and full joy. And boy, that spoke such a loud message to me. Then secondly, there was a man who has been a good friend of the school going back to 1976. He's helped in a financial way many, many students throughout the years. We remember back in 76 when Dr. Barton, who was my mentor, went and took him a vintage. And as he was flipping through that vintage, he came to that picture of the preacher boys. And many times, you know, that preacher boy shot can be overhead. Sometimes they form a cross, but it's just hundreds and hundreds of young people. And it just spoke to his heart about, no, this is what I want to get behind. And I'd like to have my money go to help produce preacher boys. Well, he passed away this last week at the age of 93. And it was my privilege to fly down to Alabama Saturday to represent the school at his funeral and to say a few words on behalf of the school. And it made me reflect a lot about the life of this man. I'm telling you, it rebuked me tremendously. To think about a man who was not self-effacing at all. To me, he embodied the thought, he must increase, I must decrease. A man who had a lot of what we would say earthly wealth, although if you saw him and saw where he lived and knew him, you would never have guessed that. But he wasn't motivated by what he had. He never took lavish vacations. He never dressed like you and I may want to dress if we had the money to. He didn't drive flashy big cars, live in a nice big house. He was motivated to be a plugger, a saver, because he had something else that the Lord had laid on his heart. That would help young people at BJU and others in his church. It goes further. This man, from the day he was married, had devotions with his wife every day. Every year he at least read through the Bible one time. His pastor said, for sure he knows that this man had read more than 100 times through the Bible by his own testimony. And he said, by the knowledge that man had of the Bible, he spent much time in God's Word. But the man, by his own testimony, never had a TV. And he says, this is just what we do. We don't have a TV. We spend time together in our devotions. He was really devoted to Jesus Christ. There was a time when both he and his wife did shift work. So they didn't have fancy jobs either. But one of them worked through the night and one of them worked kind of the day shift. And they had just a little bit of time they would crisscross when they'd come home at midnight. What do you think they did? They spent time together, abiding with their Savior together, because that was important to them. You know, as I thought about a life like that, I'm like, John, could you have ever done that? Can you say you have lasting and full joy to that extent that you would be fine to have that life and that existence? I hope you would do what I would do after reflecting upon that. We should say a hearty amen. Yes, I would want that. But that means you got to give up some other things. And giving up those other things is, hear what I'm telling you, that's what we're abiding in. And as we abide in those things that we truly need to give up, we'll never have lasting and full joy. But those who have it would never want to return to what we're abiding in and struggling in because they've had the better. And I'm not here to make it sound like all of us are on the other extreme of abiding just every minute of every day in the wrong things. But what I would like to submit and what I really do believe is we're doing too much of it But that's why we don't have full and lasting joy in the full Christian life, that superabundant life that the Lord has for us. Let your life, let my life be the next life that can be a pulpit that we can preach to others of what it means to have lasting and full joy. Because though many of us will never be preachers, I'm telling you, I had two strong messages this week that I don't think I'll forget for a long time that came on the heels of what I began meditating with there on vacation. I want full and lasting joy for me and my family. And I hope you understand God intends us all to have that because that's the way He designed us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this simple passage and what You've taught us today. If You abide in us and we abide in You, we can bear much fruit. But You've also told us, but without Me, ye can do nothing. Lord, herein is My Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Lord, help us to simply abide and bear much fruit for the Father's glory and honor and for our full and lasting joy.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Mr. John Matthews, Chief Financial Officer at BJU. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.